Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this evening's show, we're going to be looking into the future. We'll do some wobbling, we'll have some time for sergeants, have a cardiac set, and listen to this past week in recording history. Last week I had intended to play Wobbly Walk in connection with Bud Green's birthday, and so I had made a note for this week's show to do some more wobbling. Well, I wound up not playing Wobbly Walk last week, but we're going to do some wobbling this week anyway. Here's Benny Moten's Kansas City Orchestra.
Thank you.
Joe Venuti's Rhythm Boys, Joe, Eddie Lang on guitar, Jimmy Dorsey, Lenny Hayton on piano, and Paul Griselli on drums, and the Wolf Wobble from September 10, 1931. Before that, it was Jimmy Wade and his Dixielanders and Mississippi Wobble, written and arranged by Alex Hill, pianist in the band. Alex Hill had started his musical career in 1922 at just 16 years of age. That recording was from October 10, 1928, just one day after Hill's recording debut with Albert Wynne and his Gut Bucket Five. Mississippi Wobble was preceded by Monette Moore with Charlie Johnson's original Paradise 10 and Paradise Wobble from February 25, 1927. The Paradise in original Paradise 10 and Paradise Wobble referred to Small's Paradise, a basement nightclub on 7th Avenue in Harlem, where pianist Charlie Johnson and his band opened in October of 1925. We began that wobbly set with Benny Moten's Kansas City Orchestra and Missouri Wobble, recorded by Victor in Chicago on December 14, 1926. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I got a nice email last week from listener Rich in Illinois requesting Looks Like It's Gonna Be Me by Fred Hall and his Sugar Babies. Well, here it is, along with some other rapidly rotating records about things that are gonna be.
Thank you. you and you have me. We have nothing else but gee, everything's gonna be all right. Troubles shouldn't make us blue. Other people have them too. Everything's gonna be all right. If things go good or bad, it's all the same to us. We should fuss, fortunes are made overnight. Cost of living's high, we know. The more it costs, the more we owe. Everything's gonna be all right.
Fun record. Ben Selvin and his orchestra, credited on the label of that Brunswick 78 as the Orchestra Shea Fisher and Everything's Gonna Be All Right. The vocalist on that February 12, 1926 recording was Ben Selvin himself. Everything's Gonna Be All Right was written by Harry Axt and Benny Davis. Before that, it was Tom Berwick and his orchestra, identified on the label of that Elektra Disc 78 as Sid Pelton and his orchestra and It's Gonna Be You. Sid Pelton was a trumpeter in the Berwick Band, and he did lead his own band and recorded under his own name. The vocalist on that September 30, 1932 recording was Thelma Nevins. The band was apparently mighty busy that day, since the American Dance Band discography shows them as recording 12 issued sides in that one session. We began that Gonna Be set with a request of longtime faithful listener Rich in Illinois. That was Fred Hall in his orchestra with a vocal by Arthur Fields and Looks Like It's Gonna Be Me, subtitled Butterscotch Treat. If it sounds like that recording is a little off, it was a private advertising record made by Consolidated Recording Company of New York for the American Maize Products Company, more commonly known as a Mazo, makers of butterscotch syrup and lots of other consumer and industrial products made from corn. The company started out as the Western Glucose Company in Hammond, Indiana in 1906. It's gone through lots of ownership changes and is currently owned by a French company, but American Maize Products Company is still in business, as is the Amazo Federal Credit Union. I do have a much better condition regular issue recording by Fred Hall and Arthur Fields, and here it is as a part of a set about sergeants.
The guy that did that is a sawed-off, hammered-down leather neck and should have been croaked with a fever.
Says you.
Says me.
The biggest laugh you've ever seen. They're two Marines who fight in peace or war. You never saw such hard-boiled guys. For cussing they could take a prize, and everything they say just makes you roar. Oh, Sergeant Flank.
Yeah, Sergeant Quirk. Why, you horse marine, you need a manicure.
Yeah.
Why, you're gooey. Oh, so gooey. Not half a 1% of you is pure.
Say, Sergeant Flang.
Yeah, Sergeant Corey.
I notice no mosquitoes bother you. They just fly on past your bunk, cause mosquitoes know you're punk.
Says you.
Says me. I'll tell the cockeyed world.
Sergeant Corey.
Remember when you nearly lost your pants? Oh, you're crummy, you're crummy. And there's the broad you try to make in France.
Now, Sergeant Corey.
Sergeant Flag. It was charming that I grabbed away from you. I gave her lots of loving too.
Yeah, but look what she gave you.
Says you.
Says me.
I'll tell the cockeyed world.
Ladies, he's a soldier and a man. He sticks out his chest, two pillars in his vest, a bolster under his rotunda. Our Sergeant Major, his medals break our hearts. He won them playing darts, and while competing, who was cheating? Our Sergeant Major is far away the worst friend we've ever had. When he's far away, well, we're mighty glad. In the canteen bar, you know what sergeants are. When we've passed out, who's the last out? Our Sergeant Major, he's got a raucous voice. His language isn't choice. In clink we'd shove him, how we love him. Our Sergeant Major, his weight about he'll throw the wicked so-and-so, who'd even smother his own mother. Our Sergeant Major is far away the worst friend we've ever had. When he's far away, well, we're mighty glad. Our bugler goes his rounds, and when the bugle sounds, for everlasting, who's he blasting? Our Sergeant Major.
good night, Sergeant Murphy. Tuck me in my cozy little cot. Oh, kiss me good night, Sergeant Murphy. Say, you're the only real pal that I got. And don't forget to wake me in the morning. 'Cause if you don't, I'm gonna have to do KP. Gee, so kiss me good night, Sergeant Murphy. And won't you please be a mother to me? Sergeant Murphy, and won't you please be a mother to me?
Once in a while, we venture outside of the 20s and 30s, and such was the case there. There aren't a lot of vintage songs about sergeants, so we went to January 26, 1942, with Art Castle and his Castles in the Air Orchestra and Kiss Me Goodnight, Sergeant Murphy. The vocalist on that Bluebird 78 was Art Castle himself. Before that, it was George Formby and Our Sergeant Major, written by Formby's favorite songwriting team of Fred Cliff and Harry Gifford. That recording is from July 17, 1938, and is from the wartime musical slapstick film It's in the Air. We started the Sergeant set with Sergeants Flag and Quirt, played by Fred Hall and Arthur Fields, respectively. Sergeant Flag and Sergeant Quirt, two soldiers who fight each other more than the enemy, were made popular by Victor McLaughlin and Edmund Lowe in the movies What Price Glory and The Cockeyed World. That recording is from a Harmony 78 made October 23, 1929. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. I received an email from listener Irene in New York City with a request for a couple of records, which I wouldn't normally play together, but Irene was so nice. Here they are as part of a cardiac set, beginning with the Happy Six.
Thank you. glowing close to my breast forever. I long to hold you. Your tender eyes remind me of stars above. Into my heart, querida, you came to me with love.
Allow me to present to you on this Columbia record, London's great new dance orchestra, the Savoy Hotel Orpheans, a name familiar to millions of gramophone or radio enthusiasts throughout the world, and now representing a sparkling new combination of the cleverest of dance musicians. Meet some of them. First, there's Howard Jacobs, who can with all confidence claim to be Europe's greatest saxophonist. He has come over from Claridge's Hotel specially to lead the Savoy Orpheans. Just listen to this golden tone saxophone. here is Carol Gibbons, just back in London after his triumphs in Hollywood. Carol is an absolute master of dance rhythm on the piano and was recalled by cable to help make the Savoy Hotel Orpheans the rage of the season, which they are already acclaimed to be. Rudy Starita, who is nightly fascinating dancers at the Savoy with his magic on the xylophone. Rudy could almost guarantee to make the whole world dance. And here is another star instrumentalist, Hugo Rignold, whose alluring playing on the violin is one of the irresistible attractions of this band. He is joined by the famous Bert Thomas on his guitar. I only wish that time and opportunity were available to introduce to you the others of these young dance wizards. The Savoy Hotel have spared no expense to secure the finest musicians for their band, and you will have their wonderful dance records on Columbia, and only on Columbia. Look out for them, for they will create a bigger sensation than anything you have yet known.
Earlier, we had an advertising record, and there was another one of sorts. Hard to believe that people would pay to buy that record of Norman Long introducing the Savoy Hotel Orpheans in 1931, but the band was very popular, and apparently that record sold quite well. Norman Long was one of the earliest performers on radio in England, starting on November 28, 1922. He also had a long recording career from 1922 to 1941, with most of the songs he recorded written by others and having to do with everyday life, social commentary, and some political references. Before that, a couple of records by Nat Shilkret and the Victor Orchestra with Frank Munn. We heard Lonely Heart from March 19, 1930, and Into My Heart recorded April 24, 1930. We began that cardiac set with the Harry Yerkes group, the Happy Six, and You Gave Me Your Heart, So I Gave You Mine. That was recorded by Columbia on November 22, 1922. Back in 2003, I had the good fortune to spend a few days at the White Stallion Ranch, a working cattle ranch and dude ranch in Tucson, Arizona. It's owned and operated by the True family, and I'm pleased that I'll be there again for most of this coming week. You can find out all about the White Stallion Ranch at their website, wsranch.com. That's wsranch.com. I'm not much of a horse person, but I'm sure I'll get in at least several slow rides, and there's plenty else to do there as well. So for all the hard-working folks at White Stallion Ranch who make it a wonderful place to stay, we're going to finish out this edition of the show with an equine set, beginning with the five musical blackbirds. Thank you.
happy over horses, 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 silly over horses, horses, horses. Once I heard her call me Spark Plug, brown eyes too. Yes, she thinks I'm a horse's funny Google at the altar, altar, altar. Maybe she will falter, falter, falter. Then I'll get a halter, 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 just to make her mine. A woman's no means yes, I guess. A horse's nay is a horse's yes. Oh, it's horses, horses, just a lot of horses, horses all of the time.
Well-known horse, you see him everywhere, in the parks and carnivals and at the county fair. He's never won a ribbon, though he features every show. The knights of old, so brave and bold, would love this horse, I know. He doesn't eat oats, he doesn't eat hay, he travels 1,000 miles a day. The horse with the lavender eyes, a silvery mane, a saddle of gold, a beautiful creature to behold. The horse with the lavender eyes. He looks the perfect thoroughbred with his head up in the air. His life is one grand giddy-up woe, but he never gets nowhere. In stable or barn, you'll never be found. The little birds never hang around, because he's the horse.
He's the horse,
he's the horse on the merry-go-round. He isn't a he isn't a she. His breed is another mystery. The horse with the lavender eyes. He doesn't kick back, he doesn't get gay, he doesn't get scared and run away. The horse with the lavender eyes. He never goes to sleep at night, but he keeps in perfect form. He's never dropped his beautiful tail, that's the way this horse was born. He never gets sick, his body is sound, he doesn't mind having flies around, because he's the horse, he's the horse on the merry-go-round.
We began that equine set with the Five Musical Blackbirds, a band led by brothers Ted and Herb Brown, but which included cornetist Thomas Morris, clarinetist Bob Fuller, and Lewis Hooper on piano and Black Horse Stomp from a Pathé Actuel 78 waxed in March of 1926. Next, from an Edison Diamond disc, it was Harry Reeser and his orchestra as Earl Oliver's Jazz Babies, one of the hundreds of pseudonyms the band used, and Horses, written by Byron Gay and Richard A. Whiting. The vocalist was Tom Stax. The band recorded Horses in six different sessions between March and July of 1926 for issue on about 17 different labels, under band names including the Six Hayseeds, Barney Zeman's Kentucky Cardinals, the Seven Little Polar Bears, and Jimmy Johnston's Rebels. We finished up with Johnny Johnson and his orchestra with the vocal by Harry McDaniel and The Horse with the Lavender Eyes, recorded March 8, 1935. And just for the record, there are no horses with lavender eyes at the White Stallion Ranch. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.